Welcome to Your Highness Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Crash, and today I am joined by the amazing Dr. Darian Parker. How are you doing today, Dr. Darian?
Fantastic. And I feel like we're doing a lot of episodes together as of late, different things. It's really rewarding, I would say.
Oh, that's so nice. I like that. I would agree. Because I learn something from you every time, and I think that you're just a joy to talk to, and it's going to be an exciting episode, especially since you don't know what we're in for, so.
Yes, I'm all about it. I'm all about it.
Okay. Well, here we go. We're going to start this episode, as we do every episode, with our fave pot, fave not pot segment. And if you're new to the podcast, that is when we discuss our current cannabis and non-cannabis related item that we're just really into at the moment. So I will start with my fave pot. I was recently sent a sample of a product called Here and Now by Flora and Bast. There are these gummies that say that they benefit. The benefits are to enhance present state awareness during activities like yoga, meditation, breath work, and mental and emotional therapies. And it has in each gummy 30 milligrams of CBG and 150 milligrams of alpha CPG. And it says that it's packed with a mindfulness enhancing CBG, which is the mother cannabinoid, which creates an uplifted and euphoric state of consciousness, optimizing present state awareness, and therefore the therapeutic value of a physical, mental, and emotional health promoting activities. Okay, I don't have my glasses on, but anyway, I really like these. I actually did take them. You have to take them 40 minutes before whatever activity you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And so I did it before yoga the other day. And I did not get annoyed with the practice at all. Not that I get annoyed when I'm doing yoga, but sometimes I'm like, when is this over?
When is this going to be done? Come on, man.
Am I almost through this routine? And I didn't feel like that. I felt like I could keep doing yoga. And also, I'm noticing it's helping a lot with focus when I have to do, like, any kind of work. I've been trying to take it before that, and it's really helping with that. So, yeah. What's your favorite pot right now?
Well, let me ask you a question here.
Okay.
This is the podcast host.
Hey, this is my podcast, okay?
No, I don't think so.
You're not hijacking it.
This is going to be a very different episode for you because I'm intervening. Okay, this is how this works with me. And so there's no THC in the product?
Mm-mm.
Interesting. So how do you feel? Like, what's the feeling?
I just feel more focused and less anxious, and it calms me in a way that doesn't make me feel groggy or anything like that. I'm a big fan of CBG. I try to take it in the morning, and I usually use a tincture, but I've been using this gummy lately. So,
As far
as the other ingredient in there, alpha CPG, I don't know enough about that to speak intelligently. I'd have to do some research. But preliminarily found out that it can really help people with ADHD, which I have. So that explains why I like it so much.
Okay. Very interesting. And you said gummies. I was like, ooh, I wonder how much THC is in it. None, apparently.
Right. No, it's not always about getting high. I know that you don't believe me.
I'm not sure about that. But
no, you're not. What's your fate pot? You're in an Airbnb right now, but you.
I'm in an Airbnb.
You usually have access, right? Yeah.
I always have access, and there's like four dispensaries here in Blaine, and such a tiny town, 5,000 people, four dispensaries, incredible. My favorite currently is Gravity, which is a gummy, all different flavors like watermelon, mixed berry, and all that stuff. Strawberry is probably my favorite flavor of it, but. I remember I went there. This was like maybe a couple months ago, and I was like, I love edibles, but I don't want the stuff with like the crazy stuff like butane in it and all this. I don't want any of that. I want something better. So, you got to try Gravity. And it's a great body high. And I said, oh, awesome. And I got it, and they were right, man. I mean, I shot to the moon quickly, man, on this thing. And so what's interesting for me is like, so you want to be focused. Sounds like you want to be focused and stuff. Like, I don't want to be focused. I want no part of that. It's been way too much time. I'm a very like, generally a very serious, focused person all the time.
And I'm not, so
this is what we're talking about.
I'm like, even though the podcast has the theme of getting comfortable with the uncomfortable, it's always with a healthy dose of laughter and foolishness, because that is me, you know, in a nutshell.
I like to talk
about serious stuff, but with humor and all of that.
Yeah. You know? I need to take the myself off the gas pedal.
Yeah.
Like at least once a week, just to like, you know, not be a robot. I know I don't think some people like, they normally don't think that I'm like that, but I feel like that's kind of overwhelmingly how I am. And so I need to just kind of like fade from being so serious. And it's always, you know, I'd like having the lack of being focused is actually, so gravity, big fan of them.
Gravity is just what you need.
Just what you need. You know, it's not filled with, a lot of people, they don't even look at what's in edibles, but there's a lot of terrible stuff in them.
Yes.
Ingredients. So I really like, I'm very careful about the ingredients, the edibles, like very high quality. And this crazy thing is they're so cheap. I can't believe how cheap edibles are, man. It's unbelievable. For what you get back, I don't know. It seems very cheap to me.
Well, I'm sure a lot of gummy people who are listening are very happy to hear that. Gummy producers, you know?
Yeah, it almost seems illegal how cheap it is.
Well, like, let's not make it illegal.
You're like, hey, man, let's not. I'm just saying, you get like 3 to 4 hours of like great time, snacks, weird conversations, huge laughter.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a package of a, you know, 100-milligram package for like $25 to $45. I mean, that's amazing.
Really?
I mean, it's pretty good.
It's not like that here. Anyway.
Okay, let's not talk about where you're at. Okay?
Yeah. It's cheaper in some places for sure.
It's true.
So I didn't talk about your show so much yet because that's my fave not pot. My fave not pot is Dr. D's Social Network podcast.
And is that for real?
It's for real. I'm a huge fan of podcasts. Not just because I'm a podcaster. I love podcasts. And I love yours because you really do talk to everyone. I mean, just so many different. Every time I check out your LinkedIn, I'm like, oh, what? Okay. Wow, look at that, you know, and every time I listen, I learn a lot of new things, and I love your interview style, and I appreciate you having me on your show twice. That was amazing.
Yeah, I think there'll be another time, too. It's, I tend to
don't
like,
feel pressured.
I
don't,
no, I just, you know what it is, like, if I feel really, like, a lot of chemistry with someone, like a nice back and forth, I mean, I'd rather have that than, you know, just a bunch of random people. But I don't find that the chemistry's that often, like maybe like with someone I have with you like that. And I mean, I think if you pay attention to the show, if I have someone back several times, clearly I enjoy spending time with them. You know, it doesn't mean I don't enjoy with other people. It's just that we maybe just don't have that chemistry that I really like, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So what's your fave not pot right now?
Right now, I would say, probably is I'm watching a documentary about Arnold Schwarzenegger that I really like. It's brand new. It's fairly one-sided, though. Like, it's clear. I'm like, well, this is clearly about him. And I'm not sure they're doing about the other stuff about him. But, you know. But documentaries in general are probably my favorite non-pot at currently, because I just like learning, as you can tell from my podcast, about people. And I'm simultaneously doing that while also doing a very deep dive into George Washington right now.
Interesting.
Actually, my wife and I are doing this big project where we do extremely deep research on all the presidents of the United States.
That's so, I think so it's fun. You guys do that together? Is it something you do regularly? Or
no, we just came up with the idea. It was like, why don't we do this? I think it's because, like, I feel like a lot of things we talk about, we just don't know much about. Like, everybody says stuff, but that has no real deep understanding of the stuff. Like, if you actually, like, push somebody to explain things, they struggle with it. because they don't have a deep history of the thing they're saying. So I don't want to be one of those people. I want to be able to explain the things I'm talking about. You know?
I feel like I can't even do that with things I have a deep history with.
You're like, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Even in therapy, I'm like, what? I don't know. You want me to explain my own life?
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that.
Like, where do we start? I mean, like.
Not really. Where do we start?
Right. Yeah.
Well, that is so fun. I love to hear that, though, that you guys are doing that together. That's so cool. Ever feel like life stress gets to be too much? Welcome to MitraGaia, your natural wellness partner. We are the number one rated provider of Kratom, a 100% natural plant-based solution used in Asia for centuries to help increase focus, energy, and relaxation. Want to know more? Use the code YHPOD to get 10% off your first order today. That's MitraGaia.com. And code YHPOD for 10% off. So, on your show, you interview people from all walks of life, like I mentioned. Mm-hmm. How did you decide to start interviewing people in the cannabis space?
I think one from my own usage. And then I have a lot of my friends are into cannabis. And we've had an incredible conversations after ingesting cannabis, and I was like, man, this is a substance that I feel can make you feel focused depending on what you're doing, but also I think it just takes down some of the inhibitions to really talk about things that maybe you're just not going to talk about regularly with other people you're close to. But then I also just wanted to have a well-rounded experience with cannabis. You know, we're all like essentially a prisoner to our own experiences. And if we don't go outside of those experiences, then we're only telling a story based off of our lens for it. So cannabis, I want to like get around to different people in the cannabis space. And that's how I found you, was talking to Danielle Simone Brand, because I was very curious about cannabis use in moms.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like this, I want to talk about this because I think there are a lot of parents who get high, but they feel a stigma behind, oh, you're a bad parent or something like that. And I wanted to talk about that. And then I was like, well, okay, just send me more people that in the space doing different stuff, you know? And
yeah.
It's how it led to that, you know?
Deep friend of the pod, Danielle Simone Brand.
Big shout out. Big shout out.
Big fan. And she's on the show often. So anyway, what are some of the more interesting things that you've learned from the cannabis people that you've interviewed and just plant medicine in general? Like, what are some of the more surprising things you've learned over time?
You know, I always bounce back between cannabis and psychedelics.
Mm-hmm.
Two things that I have a lot of experience with and had incredible experiences with. I think one of the things I've learned that surprised me about the cannabis business is that it's not as successful as I thought it was. I hear a lot of people in the business saying no one's making money and it's really difficult, and like it kind of jumped the shark, and how people are very skeptical of like that the psychedelic business needs to be very careful and not go the way of the cannabis business. I'm like, really? I didn't know that. I'm not in those businesses. I just, as a consumer, I was not aware that there were these feelings about that. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I think that it is kind of a weird vacuum sometimes, the cannabis industry, because I just assume people know that it's not a great space to be in all the time, right? For a variety of reasons. And then I talk to people quote unquote in the real world, outside of the space, or people who aren't, you know, completely in it all the time. And they're just, they're like, what do you mean? And not even just that, just what is not known about the laws, just the law part, like the legality part of it, you know?
Mm.
I recently did a 420 event and I was outside, and in the state, it is currently not legal yet, but that will change very soon. But anyway, it's not adult use here. And I still had people coming up and thinking that I was selling it at the, you know, I was promoting the podcast, but they were thinking I had like giveaways and things like that. And they thought,
right.
I can't even tell you how many times people were going, but does it have any THC in it? Is this the good stuff? You know? And I'm like, what? Yeah. No. And then I had to check myself, you know? I mean, I'm constantly having to do that, assuming that people know things that you know. And I think that's why I like your show so much, because you don't do that at all.
No. No. I can be very open-minded. I'm a very open-minded, I'd like to think I'm very open-minded, and I just want to understand what the hell is going on in anything. And I think that's part of like maybe a larger societal issue, is that I think we know what's mm-hmm. happening based off of a headline or something we skimmed, you know, yeah. a 2-minute
thing. A headline
thing.
So accurate. I can't tell it's you so how many accurate. Times.
It's
like,
just a lot of clickbait.
I'll tell my husband, oh, I saw that this, you know, dot, dot, dot. And he's like, oh, and he'll ask for context. And I'm like, I don't know. I just saw the headline.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd ever get to that point in my life, but we're just so inundated with content, you know. It's hard to sift through it sometimes.
Yes. I talked about this not too... Well, recently I was saying, you know, we're not in an information seeking era. We're in an information filtering era. Like when I was growing up, it was, you had to really work hard to find content.
Mm-hmm.
And now you don't have to work hard. You just have to be very savvy about filtering through what is actually accurate and what's inaccurate. And I find that the majority of people I talk to, like just when I'm not on my podcast and I talk to them about stuff, like they just don't have a deep knowledge of the things they're discussing. So I was like, you know, you should really have a deep knowledge of this. It's like, if you're going to like go hard for a subject, like really hard and be like, have this zealotry about it, you mm-hmm. probably should know. That's kind of my whole thing with the whole George Washington thing, is I got tired of people talking about the Constitution and all this stuff who actually have never read it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't actually know the ins and outs and under, you know, this founding fathers and stuff. I'm like, well, okay, you know what? If I want to talk to people about this, I need to have a deep knowledge of the start of the United States. And as Americans, I think it's important to know about your country that you're from, actually. But I always find in any subject, doesn't matter if it's that or something, the people who fight the hardest in that subject often know the least about the history about it. That's been my experience. So I don't ever want to be that. So my podcast is an education for me personally to be able to build on my knowledge on a regular basis. So when someone asks me something, I can go, oh, yeah, well, you know, this is part of this aspect. And, you know, here's the origins of this. And that doesn't make me an expert. I'm no expert in cannabis, but I could certainly hold my own in a conversation about cannabis, different products and, you know, effects of it and things of that nature, you know.
Yeah, I do know. And I think that you are not an expert in cannabis, but you're an expert in interviewing. And yeah. I think that if anyone wants to start a show, they should listen to you, because you have your own unique brand of interview mm-hmm. style. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. And it's great because I've been talking about it a lot lately on
different I know
episodes
you have.
I've been doing.
Yeah,
right. And which is funny because I love talking to other hosts. And I, you know, once I reveal to them kind of how I interview people, they're like, oh, that's a good idea, you know, because people, I'm just, as a disclaimer, I'm not trying to toot my horn about this and be like, oh, I'm so amazing. It's nothing to do like that. But one of the things, if you listen to the show, you'll often hear the guests say, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. Oh, I never thought of that. And so for me, I really focus on first listening. And then I think, as I told you, Diana, like I use a tailing method. It's the name. I don't know if anybody else came up with, but I know that's what I call it. I came up with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the tailing method is every person has a tail to the end of their monologue, if you will. You know, they start slowing down
mm-hmm.
the talk. You can just feel like they're about to stop talking. Right. And I always just focus on the last two or three things they say before they stop talking. And then that creates the next question for me. Sometimes I try to remember what they say earlier, but then it was like, then I find I'm focusing too much on what they said earlier. I'm not actually listening to them. So I just kind of like listen for that wind down. and I take that tail, and then I just keep tailing people. Like, I've taught it to my daughter, a bunch of people. I'm just like, just tail people, and you'll never be bored. You'll never have a terrible conversation because you'll always have something interesting to ask.
And I love how you had made the point before in our earlier conversation about how if someone doesn't give you that pause, it's mm-hmm. because they really need to get that out, and yeah. they need to say what they have to say. And you yeah. give them that space to do that. And you definitely did for me. I know I rambled quite a bit.
It's funny. Some hosts, I've had hosts tell me that they won't release episodes like that sometimes. Because, and I'm like, well, that's, you know, for me, I mean, that's them. They want to do that. That's great. But for me, I just feel like I understand that some of the episodes are self-healing episodes. And the person really needs to get it out. And sometimes it's going to take 15, 20 minutes of them talking straight through. And I don't know that they're going to do that. But once they start, I realize my place almost immediately. I'm like, oh, I'm not here to talk. I'm here to ask a few questions and let them talk about it. And then there's guests where we just have that chemistry and it's back and forth. So I let the episode become whatever it needs to become. And I always release it. I never not release it. If it's not, doesn't fit how I want it. I don't know how I want it to be. I just let it be what it's going to be. You know?
That's awesome. I love that mentality. You just have to let it be what it will be.
Yeah. Just let it be. Yeah.
That's cool. I like that. So switching gears a little bit, you're in the fitness world. And the topic of cannabis and fitness training and athleticism and all of that is a very hot topic right now. It was actually the theme of our latest Canna Curious issue. I say our, it's not my magazine. I yeah. was the editor, but it's not mine. But anyway, I find it a really interesting topic because a lot of people assume that when you use cannabis products, you will not be able to go do anything physically yeah. active. So what are you seeing when it comes to that? Like, what's the intersection of fitness training and cannabis for you?
I think it's really, really, I'm not even going to say it's the infancy of it. I think it's still like, it's still very difficult for people in my profession to imagine that. I mean, I was at a conference speaking in Denver not that long ago, and afterwards we had a dinner, and I'm very open about my cannabis use. I don't see the reason to not be. Mm-hmm. I just don't care, honestly. Mm-hmm. I just like, listen, this is, you know, every Friday I have kind of my ritual. That's what I do. Some people smoke every day. I do an edible once a week. That's like my thing. I really enjoy it. And but then we were talking about exercise, and I said, actually, you know, cannabis and exercise is amazing. And you could have thought that my head was exploding and it was going all over the place the way people were looking at me. But you know, again, it's just lack of knowledge. They thought, oh, you can't, you know, it's the typical thing. You're just sitting there. You're out of it. You're seeing weird things. I was like, no, actually, whenever I do ingest cannabis before I work out, and then when I work out, I actually always have an amazing workout. Mm-hmm. And I started doing that mainly because of the research in Colorado. They have really pioneered this research related to cannabis use and like endurance running and stuff. And that research is very promising. The indications of, you know, cannabis use and dosage and the effect it has on exercise. And I just think it's just like, we just need to stop putting this. Most people are just lying about it. Like, it's okay to talk about it. I mean, I feel like so many people use cannabis, but they're so afraid to talk about it. Like, okay,
yeah,
maybe you're in a job where they drug test. I totally get that. Maybe. But if, you know, if you're just like working for yourself and all this stuff, like, why do you care? Like, it's like,
well, the child welfare of it all, too. I mean, even in legal states, people are still having CPS intervene. And, you know, unfortunately, it's been because of people saying things like, oh, well, they're doing drugs. And, you know, that's still so prevalent. I think a lot of people come from that fear of having.
Yeah.
You know,
alcohol is a drug, too. I mean, it's
right. But it's,
people
you know,
are doing that constantly. You know,
and tell like, that to the government.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I get it. I am trying to be as open as possible, but I totally will admit that it's from fear because, you know, what I just said, because of all of that. Because attitudes are changing, but there's still a lot that needs to be done. And there's still a lot of weird stigma out there, unfounded.
Sure. Yeah, I mean it's completely unfounded. I've been pretty open about it. I don't know. I think a lot of people know this about me, and if some, I haven't had a negative reaction, I'm sure I will at some point from someone, and just be like, listen, I'm a responsible person. You see what I'm up to. You see the successes I've had. I mean, I'm an overly responsible person. When it, and that's, as I said, I'm very serious. It kind of helps me not be so serious with that. But I just think it's kind of the responsibility of someone like myself to be open about my usage. I really feel that way, and to help other people not feel any shame about it, you know.
I love that. And in that vein, I'm going to ask you the same question you asked me when you were on my when I was on your show. What is the craziest experience you've had with cannabis?
Let's see. Craziest experience I have. I've had a lot, actually. I'm being honest with you.
What's your most memorable, I should say?
Yeah. I mean, crazy. What's crazy mean, right? I mean, it
Right,
depends.
yeah.
That's different for different people. I would say most memorable. It's all to me. It's several times. It's any time I'm having cannabis with friends and we're just out and we're just chatting. Like probably some of my favorite experiences is edibles while bowling. And just bowling and talking trash, laughing hysterically with friends, having great dinners afterwards. I mean anybody, I mean you're hungry, of course, like, and I always think those are some of my favorite times because I'm bonding with my friends. We're all kind of in the same state of consciousness, and we're talking about serious things. We're really having deep conversations, but then we're like lapsing into like hysterical laughter. And I think that's one of the biggest benefits of cannabis, is especially different strains where you just laugh hysterically. And I know people will never laugh. I'm like, laughter is a human emotion that is amazing. It's so important to do. And it just assists me in that in many ways. Like I can be tight, and I don't like that all the time, So it helps me. It's, and I'm also a very big proponent of like, I know we enter a lot of this. A lot of the research is based off of helping people who have PTSD or depression, different, and that's great. Those are all very good things. But we should also celebrate the usage of quote unquote well people, whatever that means in general, but just using it for a social edge in many ways. And I don't think we talk about that enough because I don't know if I mentioned this to you. I just think we have an issue with pleasure in our country. Like it's, oh, it's bad. You're having too good of a time. Oh, that's bad. How can you be having such a good time? I was like,
I
it's
get that.
okay.
Yeah, and I actually just this has been a common theme lately. I just interviewed someone else who had this same attitude about it, and I agree. I think that the reason it's not so celebrated to have the high and the fun with the high is because people want it to be considered medicinal. And it's hard to have it be considered medicinal while also being social because we compartmentalize that as a society, right? Unfortunately. And I mean, it's like kind of strange because being your best socially should be a part of wellness, right? Like it should be in that umbrella. It is theoretically, but still, you throw the medicinal word out there, medicine. And then
Yes. And it's okay. If it's medicine, it's okay then, because you're, but how many people, let's just be honest, because this is how I am with my podcast. I'm going to be like this on yours with that. I mean, how many people in the past have gotten a medicinal card and they had no reason to have a medicinal card, right? Some fake knee injury or something like that, just to, listen. And then there's people who actually do need it medicinally. But I think the overwhelming point is people want to have, humans crave altered consciousness. We just do. There's so much research behind this. Michael Pollan is very big into this at this point. Is throughout the history of humans, we have created altered consciousness. And it's not always just before a medicinal reason. Sometimes it's just you need to take your foot off the pedal sometimes and responsibly exist in a different space. And I said responsibly, not wildly. That's not my existence. Responsibly exist in a different reality sometimes is really important. I'm a big proponent of that. And I'm also a big proponent of medicinal usage, but for me, I have no reason to have medicinal usage for me personally. My usage is purely recreational and to exist in a different space once a week so that I can be a less stiff version of myself. That's the fact.
I will say that the argument I've heard against that is that if you are using it to take your foot off the pedal, then that could
Yeah.
be considered medicinal in itself.
Okay. No, I mean, maybe.
That's just the argument I'm not
Yeah.
saying that's my argument, but that's
Sure.
people are saying because it's recreation sounds like fun. Yeah, right? Like that's what we
I don't
equate
know what the
recreation
problem is with
with.
that. Like,
But some people look at it like, well, I need help having fun. So
yeah.
therefore, it is medicinal. It is healing in that way.
I
It
mean, I guess I
does.
could see it from that point of view
Yeah.
too. I'm not, I mean, again, like I'm not married to anything all the time with it. Like I had never thought about it like that. So I could understand that point of how someone could see it that way. So, I mean, I'm going to definitely think about that. You know, I'm not going to just be like, oh, no, that's right. I want to think about that.
Right,
I think
because
it's important to think about things, you know?
something like social anxiety is a mental health issue, but it's not something
Yeah.
you can always prove on a document. Because when you get these
Yeah.
medical certifications, at least in Maryland, you have to show your medical history.
Yeah.
You have to show proof. Like I have to show proof that I have Crohn's disease. So it's not like I can just go in there and say, oh, I have Crohn's disease. They want to see proof of it. And then they interview me and they ask, is it helping? And all of that. So I guess it depends on where you are. I'm sure there are places in this
Cool.
country where you can just go in and say, like, I have anxiety, and they go, here's your card.
Of course there is.
Yeah,
Yeah.
there are. I'm saying, I guess there is.
Of
Yeah, I know there are.
course
That
there
is a
is.
thing,
I'm like,
yes.
yeah,
But then
for
again,
sure.
I think like it all just goes back to like what's your definition of medicinal and what is medicine for you? Because some people think wine is medicine, some people think food is
Yeah.
medicine. You know, I believe food is medicine. It can
Yeah.
be. It can, you know, it feeds your body, right?
Yeah.
If you're eating the things that make your body function properly. So anyway, yeah, there's a lot to unpack there.
There is. All people say that within my profession is go exercise as medicine. And there's a whole movement of people who are like all about exercise as medicine. And, you know, I mean, I think it sounds good on the surface, but I think that defining what medicine is really important. And that all can have a very negative association for people for that. It just depends. Like, I think defining the language, like I look at what I'm doing as a recreational, someone else, like you said, go, oh, that's probably medicinal. I'm like, okay, well, what's the actual, is it a subjective definition or are we really like operationalizing this? Like, what is medicinal usage for that? Clearly, it's not the same legally because legally, medicinal means one thing from recreational. So, and the United States is heading barreling towards a re recreational usage in many states.
Well, I
I
think
actually
the
thought
other
about
thing
doing a.
is using recreation. I'm forgetting this part of it, is that people
Yeah.
don't want it to be in the same boat as alcohol as far as comparisons when you're saying that you use. And again, that's a personal choice because some people
Yeah.
do use alcohol in a way that they deem to be medicinal. So,
Yeah.
you know, I think that's the other reason why people shift the language to adult use instead of
Yeah.
recreational.
Yeah.
But
What's with the recreational? People have a problem with the term recreational. I'm curious. I'm just, I have no clue. Like, I don't understand. Like,
well,
what's
like
the problem?
I think it's the alcohol. It's the alcohol
Yeah.
comparison. They don't want to be in the same boat as because cannabis brands can't advertise in the way that alcohol brands can, but
Yeah.
if they did, you wouldn't be seeing, you know, anything glorifying cannabis use to the point where you see, you know, beer ads and things like that, where people are on a boat and they're, you know, having the time of their life and no one's blackout drunk and you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Same thing with
Yeah.
cigarettes, you know, like you know, they also glorify it, and I used to smoke cigarettes, so I'm not coming from any kind of like
Yeah.
soapbox here. I'm just saying that that's the argument, is that they don't want it lumped into the same category, those people who are against the word recreational. And again, it goes back to, they think that it makes it sound like something that can only be used for fun when it can be used medicinally.
Yeah, I just feel like the focus is primarily medicinal, and that's usually the door to get in to make it a more legalized, and which is great, that's fine. But I feel like on the other end, there's not a lot of discussions that I've seen that are just focusing on like, hey, you know, I'm just doing it for fun. You know, I'm going to have a different weekend. You know, like it's...
Well, there used to be. I think it started out that way. I mean, the cannabis industry that I entered 6 or 7 years ago is completely different than it is now. And, you know, even looking at the publications that are available now compared to what was then, I feel like it was a lot more like stoner type focus, you know? Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with being a stoner. It's just that that's... I mean, I'm a stoner. Like, I'm not saying that there's a, it was just more like the let's get high kind of attitude than it was.
Sure.
And I think that also had to do with the access, you know? And I think also because it's something that is so widely accepted by everyone across the board, regardless of your political status and your, you know, socioeconomic status and all of that. So I think that to make it more, I guess, mainstream, people would like it to be different from all of those other things that can be toxic for your body. But also, you know, everyone has their own definition of what toxic is. So it's that's one of the reasons why it's not federally legal, though, because no one can agree on these things, you know. This is exactly the reason. It's, you know, you have the camp that doesn't want it to be deemed adult use or recreational. They want it only medicinal, you know. And then you have people who want it just to be, who cares who uses it, you know?
Yeah.
Kids, adults, whatever. That's the reason I feel like that's one of the biggest reasons, is because no one can agree on how it should be accepted, how it should roll out, what it should be referred to as, and, you know, who has access to it.
Really. Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. It's just, it reminds me of a conversation I had with a former DEA agent on my show. I'm talking to all types of people, you know.
Yeah, you like, are.
And I wanted to push him on his stance on the war on drugs and stuff. And he had, I guess he had come to his credit that he is like, oh, I'm okay with like medicinal marijuana usage and not recreational. And, you know, we started getting into, I was thinking to myself, well, what's the difference? Like, why do you care? Like, this is okay, but this is not, you know, it's like, again, I just think it goes back, like, we can't be a moderate society. We can't be like, okay, well, both of these seem like, could be nice just to have a nice responsible weekend, or could be nice to help with, you know, depression or PTSD or chronic issues going on. It's like, nope, let's just go way far on this end. So maybe you went from the stoner part and then you went to the very far medical part, but really the country's probably more in the middle in the usage. You know, there's people who are doing it purely medicinal, whatever, you know, according to their own definition. And there's people who are just doing it to just have like nice, fun party, dinner party, whatever, you know. Most of what I've seen through a lot of my interviewing is that in the industry, there's a lot of people trying to make it very serious. And like, I'm very serious, like wanting to be taken seriously. And I get that, because when you're trying
to be
in a business,
why so serious? Sorry, why, I can't. I can't.
So serious. That was great. I think I did it better there.
You had to throw it in there.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, both these things, there's a spectrum of possibilities in almost anything, right? And in this spectrum of possibilities, both those things exist. And I just think that we shouldn't like basically go, well, let's just like get rid of this part and only focus on this other part. All these things exist. And honestly, most people I know that are ingesting cannabis, they're not doing it medicinally from the maybe the larger medicinal definition of it. They're just doing it having a nice time, honestly, with that. And a lot of people that I know, and again, I'm not in the industry, I'm not doing research, but it's becoming a much better option than alcohol for that. I still enjoy a good cocktail, but I think that I see a much better difference in my cannabis use versus alcohol use. And I think that there's a lot of that going on too for that. So I just think there's a spectrum of things happening, and it's okay if we can acknowledge all those things for
Absolutely.
that. It's just okay. It's just like the psych. I had talked to so many people in the psychedelic space, and it's a similar thing. It's the medicinal thing. It's the we're using it for veterans. We're using it for people who have crippling anxiety, blah, blah, blah. But then I have some people in the space who are like, listen, sometimes I just want to enjoy my Saturday and microdose, It's like, and that's the minority. People
Sometimes I just
struggle
want to
talking
make the
about that.
library adventures seem a lot more adventurous, right?
That's
With
what
the
I'm
tiny
saying.
human.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. I'm just telling you the sides I hear all the time and the arguments. I agree with you so much. Trust me.
Trust me, man. That's why I want to talk to a lot of different people so that I get a lot of different sides
Well, I
about
have
it.
some suggestions for you after we're done with this. But
Okay.
anyway, before we end, can you tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, most definitely. So, my podcast is Dr. D's Social Network, and it's on all major platforms. But you can go directly to my website and subscribe to get it into your email every time it comes out. It may be a little annoying just because I put out so many episodes. You might be getting a lot of
You
emails
really
for
do.
the.
You put out a
Yeah,
lot.
you could be getting a lot of emails. It could be annoying. I'm sorry, but it's just it's my curiosity.
Yeah.
But Dr. Darian Parker.com, spelling Dr. Doctor, and then Darian Darian Parker, Parker at gmail, at sorry, dot com. And if you go there, my podcast is on there and all of, a bunch of other stuff. I'm into a lot of things,
Yeah, you
clearly.
are.
Like
You have poetry on there. I love
poetry's
it.
on there, personal training stuff's on there, and that's probably the main way. I'm not on social media except for LinkedIn. And I know a lot of people don't even consider that really social media, but because it's not Instagram or other stuff. But you will not find me on those other things.
No,
I do not exist
you're
on
just on
social
LinkedIn.
media. And
Yeah.
I'm very happy. I'm proud to say that, by the way. Thank you very much. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do it the same thing everyone else is doing. So sorry. It's like,
Well, the cannabis industry is actually very active on LinkedIn because
oh,
Instagram
huge.
hates the cannabis.
Yeah, I heard that there's a big problem with that, like getting accounts taken down and stuff and suspended. It's kind of a shame, honestly. It's a real shame.
It's a real shame.
It's
Thank you.
unnecessary.
I couldn't agree more, but thank you so much again, and I appreciate it. Please come back anytime. And
You
until
got it.
next time, stay high and beautiful. Bye.
This episode of Your Highness Podcast is brought to you by MitraGaia.com. MitraGaia.com is giving listeners a 10% off discount when they use the code YHPOD. That's YHPOD at MitraGaia.com, a top-rated kratom company. Also, you can keep up on the recent events and all the news surrounding our show by subscribing to our Substack, Your Highness Newsletter. This episode was edited and produced by James Crash and myself, Diana Crash, and is a production of Your Highness Media. Intro music is brought to you by Your Mom Likes My Music. Thank you for listening.